on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Bill Rock's got it right again. Mayor Bloomberg, John Gambling, News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
I keep running into people that listen.
Thank the Lord. Otherwise, there'd be no point in doing it.
I always say to them, oh, you're the other listener. Yeah, that always gets a big laugh.
Always a big supporter.
You have a big audience.
We try. We try hard.
In spite of you. I think they still think they're listening to your father or grandfather.
Stop, please. Come on.
Or maybe your kids.
Yeah, maybe my kids one of these days. maybe sooner rather than later.
But it's easy for you. You've been here for a few hours. I was just outside. You have no idea how much it was raining.
Well, we actually have been. The way we track it here is with our TV monitor. It's a satellite television, and when it rains, it goes out.
Well, this is part of the mayor's program to eliminate the drought. We're storing up rain.
I'm starting to rust, you know, because of all the rain this year. It's been so much.
Well, it's like saying you're healthier when you're in the sun. Plants are. Rain helps plants, doesn't help you.
Yeah, I know you like to talk about these sort of things, so I would think that you would take credit for keeping the streets clean. It's washing the streets all the time.
It is washing the streets all the time. Actually, one of our problems is there are low-lying areas where the sewer system, we're working on it, but it's going to take a long time. Parts of the city are very low, and if, global warming, if the sea were to rise, it really would inundate parts. Lower Manhattan, where my company has their big computer facility, I remember one time the water was up to the loading dock.
Why would you put a computer facility in a place
all where the stuff's
flooded
on second and third floors, just in case? Yeah, but you get some real rain. There's some parts of Staten Island, Southeast Queens, some parts of the Bronx.
I always wonder how they keep the water out of this tunnel that runs along by the ferry, underneath the ferry, Battery.
Do you ever hear the word pump?
Yeah, they must have a lot of them.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's literally underwater.
Yeah, I was in Jamaica last...
As most tunnels are,
I was in Jamaica last night, and if you remember, the subways flooded a few years ago when there was an enormous amount of rain. And so what they did is they put these metal things over the grills that, are in the sidewalk, which raise the grill up. And it's very clever. They have it very undulated with pieces of metal sticking up, because otherwise people go to sleep on them.
Right.
And so it is a good design. But I know it's the first time I'd seen them in a long time. I'd forgotten about them. They put them in, I think, a year or so ago. They were all the way up Sutphin Boulevard, I think it was.
All right, big story this week was sort of the gnashing of teeth that New York City didn't get any of the stimulus money that was designated for security and police.
Well, there's a silver lining in every cloud. The good news was the federal government, you can't write this stuff. Federal government said New York City has done such a great job of reducing crime and is so well managed, thank you very much, that they shouldn't get any money.
No good deed goes unpunished.
I suppose. All kidding aside, the federal government pays for things before you buy them. But once you buy them, they don't. And I've never understood how you could look the public in the eye and say, I'm not going to hire the first responder, whether it's a police, fire, whatever. I'm not going to buy the piece of equipment, whether it's a truck or a radio or whatever, until we get the money. In the meantime, I'm going to leave you unprotected. We don't do that. We go and do whatever is necessary so that you're as protected as we can make you in a reasonable degree of certainty. And then we try to find the money for it. And we reach into our pocket, pay it, and then go to get it. Federal government is not structured, or they have some policies against doing exactly that. So what they really do is they move money from things that work over to things that don't work. Now, I don't have any problems with Maine. I happen
that
to like...
Makes sense. I mean, we just sort of accept that.
They gave money for more cops for a town in Maine that, can't have much crime. We are, in all fairness, much more likely to be a terrorist threat, much more likely to, need more boots on the ground. And yet the money went elsewhere. Now, I don't begrudge Maine, and I happen to love the two senators. I think they're both good senators, and they've been very helpful to New York and to Maine and what in this country. But, you know, come on, when you're allocating resources. Now, that's the one side. The other side is Jeanette Napolitano, or Janet Napolitano, I think she pronounced it Janet. Jeanette Sedeq Khan and Janet Napolitano. Got to get that straight. Janet Napolitano, former governor of Arizona, who I've known for a while. She's the head of Homeland Security, and she came and we did an event 2 days ago in Grand Central Station where we got $36 million from Homeland Security funds for similar kind of things. It won't hire as many cops as we had hoped to with the COPS program money, which is the program we didn't share in, but we did get something. So we should say thank you. And, you know, with all these things, you can go and yell and scream, but the bottom line is there's always one federal program after another, so you can't be too nasty. You got to fight and scream and yell and say this is an outrage, which it is, but also say thank you when they do come through.
Okay, what happens to that $35 million that you got to handle the transit people next year when you don't have the $35 million?
It's actually spread over 3 years, the questions, but it's a good question, but it's the fourth year. You're on your own, kid.
I think that's going to be a problem across the country with a lot of the stimulus money.
Well, if you look at New York State, they took a lot of the stimulus money in their last budget. Instead of cutting and using it maybe to replace cuts, they actually never cut anything and spent more and raised taxes. Now, they probably can't raise taxes again. At some point, you really will drive a lot of people out. And, you know, people aren't making the kind of money. I saw yesterday Governor Patterson said all of a sudden there's a bigger deficit than they'd thought, a few billion dollars more. I never figure out which time period they're talking about. But they have been spending more than they've been taking in for a long time. And it's going to come home to roost. And this time, this coming year, or the year after, when it comes home to roost, two things will happen. They will try to raise taxes on New York City residents because New York City pays most of it. So whenever they raise taxes for the whole state, we pay more. And they will cut the amount of money they send back to counties. We have five counties that make up the city. We're big, so it's easy for them to just cut the monies for us, which they've done just for us and not for anybody else in the state, and leaving us with a very big problem down the road. It is very, what's happening at the state level is very worrisome, but it's happening in a lot of these states where they've gotten used to the stimulus money, and the stimulus money can't be there forever. Unless maybe it can. You'll take a look this.
Well, see, the that's car, the point.
Yeah, clunker bill. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I don't get it because, on one hand, they say they've gone through the $1 billion already, which is a lot of
in
cars.
4 days, 250,000 cars.
On the other hand, nobody can find anything that's ever been approved. They're complaining that the bureaucracy in Washington isn't working. So how can they have spent the money if you can't get anything done? But maybe
plus,
they can.
I was talking with my friend Steve Califer from Flemington dealership down there about this morning because I was curious what it was like from the dealer's point of view. There is a 132-page application for every clunker rebate.
You know, they should cut that. It should not be any more than 131.
But to your point here, and this is one of the questions I raise constantly, is this stimulus money, how can you take it away? Because some of it goes to teachers. Are you going to yank the teachers out of the school when the stimulus money goes away? I don't think so. So the cities and the towns and the villages and the counties, the states,
we all get addicted, and it's very difficult to cut back. And look, I'm a mayor, so I'm on the mayor's side, but I have argued this. I've literally told the president face-to-face before he was president and after he was president, if you give money to the states, we're doubly likely to misappropriate it, use it in the wrong places, and then get it taken away from us. But in fact, it is at the city level where you really hire the people and provide the services. Now, our state does some things. I'm not knocking them. They have a lot of employees, and they do a lot of things. But most things are done at the city level. And if we don't have direct control of funds, and we still haven't got...
So you would be an advocate for direct deposit, if you will.
We don't even get the money. If the federal government says the state must send it on, we're suing the state for $500 million for one of the stimulus programs. We didn't even get the money. Federal government promised it. Our senators had an announcement. Isn't it great? And then it doesn't show up when we have to pay the bills.
Can you imagine?
It's an outrage.
Let me take a break. 17 minutes after 8 o'clock, John Gambling, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, coming right. 321-0710, 800-321-0710, if you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Now, I've taken a lot of grief being a supporter of yours, having the following the law and running for a third term.
Thank you.
But I hear you want now. You now want to run for a fourth term?
I couldn't believe it. The guy, a reporter, nice guy, asked me. I thought it was a joke. But I think
others probably did too.
I'll work very hard for a third term, but 12 years would be quite enough. I would be, I gotta do this calculation, I would be 71 running. Not there's anything wrong with 71, but when I'm 71, I will have a different career. Hopefully not when I'm 67, but when I'm 71.
Looking for something.
I think there is a point at which, you can't do any more. You get tired and bored. I had dinner last night with some friends and we're talking
that
about...
Would that be legal?
No, they'd have to change the law.
They'd have to change the law again.
That would be no. N-O. Under any circumstances. But, the challenge is you want to make sure... This guy said to me, well, how are you going to make a third term and keep going and not get tired. Some people have third terms, don't work. Some people have third terms and work very well. And I pointed out, look, our second term was, I thought, the last term, and we did a lot more in our second term than the first term. And I think you can really do more in a third term because what you got to do is you got to change some people and move people around, and you move your staff meeting from morning to evening. You'd go from left to right. You mix things up, do things differently, but new people. And you see, we've got a bunch of new commissioners. And I appointed another one, a new commissioner of the Department of Finance, a few days ago. New people come in, and they're willing to come. They're willing to bet that we're going to get a third term. I hope they're right. I'll work as hard as I can, but whatever. And there's new approaches. I don't care how good you are, you want to mix things up. In my company, I used to move people around from one agency to one department to another, and just gives them a new view.
Energizes them instead of getting sort of
And I've talked to Kelly and I, for example, have talked about what new strategies or technology or things we can do to keep crime coming down for 4 more years if we're lucky enough to have that opportunity. And we're working hard on that, and we have come up with a lot of new things each year. Crime continues to come down. We're on course to set a new record low for crime this year. But, you want to do more next year and the year after and the year after that.
As you point out, it is the hard work of the NYPD, the people with the boots on the ground that make the big difference. But are there technological additions that will...
Our police department uses an enormous amount of technology. Keep in mind, downtown, the financial center, the cameras and recognition equipment that looks at license plates and checks the computer to see if the car is stolen as it goes by, and communications. Police officers, that's the thing. We keep raising the standards. You have to have a GED or a high school diploma to work in the sanitation department. You have to have 60-odd credits to make the list for the police department, and department's got a variety of other things because technology gets more complex and you want to use it, and that's one of the reasons that you can bring crime down. And keep in mind, we are going to have to do more with less. Anybody that thinks that the next few years are going to be easy for any municipality in this country is just wrong. The tax revenues have fallen, and even if the economy is turning around, and there's a lot of evidence that it's doing that, it's not going to bail out the states and the cities. In New York, for example, Wall Street, that we're still very dependent on, isn't going to be paying any taxes for 4 or 5 years because of their tax loss carryforwards. Now, if they make money, they'll pay their employees. If their employees live or shop in the city, then, we'll get some benefit from that. So it's helpful. But we're going to have to find ways to do more with less. And that's one of the reasons, if you go back, that congestion pricing thing, which didn't sell, couldn't get it through the legislature. But the idea was to get capital money so that we could invest and have the MTA do more with less, because otherwise you're always going to have labor that needs to keep up with inflation, and the real world's going to get some raises, and the fares are going to have to keep going up. The only way you stop fares from going up, if you want to keep the service at this level or really improve it, but even just keeping it at this level, is to use technology. And that requires capital investments. We're doing that with the police department. We're building a new police academy. We're trying different kinds of automobiles. The amount of stuff that a police officer can get on the computer in the car is really quite amazing.
And I noticed, because out front here in the downtown area that you referenced already, we have a lot of security, so the cars are all over the place. And I am amazed at what's inside as I look at the windows as I walk by, what's inside those cars.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't do that, you know, the bad guys have a BlackBerry too.
Or better. Right.
And you just have to keep up.
All right. Last Friday when you were here, I asked you about the continued controversy over mayoral control of the schools, and I was somewhat surprised at your response.
What did I say?
Well, you didn't say anything.
Oh. I was on message. Good.
No, you didn't say anything, and that afternoon, of course, it was announced that there was a deal, which obviously you were keeping in your pocket.
Well, let's hope it gets done next week.
Well,
I think it will
question.
Get done.
Well, that's my question.
I think it will. Yeah, as far as I know, it will get brought to a vote and pass overwhelmingly in the State Senate next week.
And how about the Assembly?
The Assembly's already passed it.
Okay, but so there it won't be changed. Well, it's got to be changed. It's different, isn't it?
Here's the issue with
the Senate.
The way the Albany works is they don't have this concept of a conference committee like you do in Washington. So the Assembly passes a bill, or the Senate, whichever goes first, the other has to pass exactly the identical bill, word for word, letter for letter, number for number. The Senate, we had negotiated for a long time with the Assembly and the Senate. Senate stopped negotiating. They had their own internal problems, as you read about in the paper and talked about. But with the Assembly, we came to an agreement, pass the bill. The Senate will pass that same bill. There are a few things that the Senate wanted, some of which actually are in the bill that the Assembly passed, but they didn't like sort of the wording. So I said, look, we will do those things because we have to do them anyways. There's nothing that we've agreed to that changes anything that takes away our ability to run the schools. And some of the things, some of their ideas are not bad. And so we'll do those. But they will pass the identical bill. Otherwise
you haven't accomplished anything.
That's exactly right. I mean, they call these one-house bills up in Albany, and they do it all the time. And both can pass them. And the reason they want to do that is they say to you, if you wanted this done, I voted for it. But if you didn't want it done, I voted for it in ways that don't worry about it.
Okay. And it has to do even one word?
One word.
Unbelievable. Yeah. It seems inefficient, but I understand why they've,
it is what it is, and it sort of works. I mean, it's annoying. Good government groups would say it's terrible, but, you know, you can function. The issue is not that process. The issue is what's in the bills they pass or don't pass.
What happens to the school board that has been constituted?
It would go away.
It just disappears.
Just disappears the way it did the last time.
Mm-hmm. And you're back to where you are.
We are back to where we have the tools to continue a process that's made the schools so much better that nobody could have envisioned it, but nobody should think that the job is done. We have a long ways to go. We have a great group of teachers and principals and parent coordinators and custodians and the safety officers. They have more to do. And, not every kid is ready to getting the education that they need. So got to keep working at it. But, you know, if you never give credit to people that make progress, there's no incentive to do that. And these people have made an enormous amount of progress, deserve a lot of credit. I said to two teachers I met at a rally last night, I said, before you go home, before you turn off the lights, look in the mirror. You're going to see somebody that's really changing the world for decades going forward.
Good stuff. All right, Mayor, sit right where you are. If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, 800-321-0710. Here at News Talk Radio 710 WOR, along with Mayor Michael Bloomberg on a Friday, our regular get-together here. Coney Island going to happen?
Coney Island is going to happen. A lot of work, still some things to do. Years. Coney Island, saw its heyday 40s and 50s, and it's sort of fallen on hard times is a nice way to phrase it. There is a real demand for beach amusements, that sort of thing. that you can get to by subway. It's not for everybody. There'll still be people that go to Disney World and Disneyland and Astro this and, you know, whatever, and see that. But there's a demand here. I think we've worked out a very good deal. The city council worked very hard. There's a city councilman, Dominic Recchia, who represents the district, who has, you know, he's been in City Hall sitting outside our office all day, every day, it seems like, for the last 3 years. He really has worked. He deserves a lot of credit. And Chris Quinn and, you know, that group. But we finally came to a rezoning agreement, which the city council had to pass. And it will create, down the road, a lot of jobs, amusements, hotel, apartments, affordable housing, the whole ball of wax. We still have to, we're close, not quite done with a guy who owns a big piece of land right in the middle. But I think we'll come to an agreement. Coney Island itself has something like 50,000 people that live there. They could use more jobs. But, you know, we have a minor league baseball stadium. The Cyclones are there. The Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus is there for the summer in tents. The aquarium is right there. There's a band shell just down the road. So there's Nathan's, and there's some amusements. And Bob Lieber and Amanda Burden really are the ones on the administration side that have done all of this. And it takes a long time. But once you do the rezoning, whether it gets built out as the market develops, as the economy gets better, as banks are willing to lend money. But a developer doesn't have to wait for this long involved environmental approval, community, democracy to work. We've done all of that part. Not skimped, but done it right. And you know, I think the estimates are that something like 4,500 units of housing are going to be built, about 35% of those affordable. The numbers that Bob estimates, something like 25,000 construction jobs and 6,000 permanent jobs. And the economic impacts are $10, $15 billion over 30 years. And incidentally,
is there a time frame? Does this sunset at all?
No. Once you rezone it, yeah. I mean, we've rezoned now a sixth of the city. And incidentally, we do need, you know, we talked about Albany, and, you know, listen, we've had our problems with Albany, but there's a state senator, Diane Savino, and they've covers this district, and an assemblyman, Alec Brokransky. And they've worked hard because we need some approval from Albany, and they got that done. So, you know, with everybody working together, and needless to say, I must mention our great Brooklyn president, Marty Markowitz, who I did a concert with. He's really funny. He runs a whole series of concerts in Brooklyn.
He doesn't play music or sing.
He does not, but he gets up there, and he is funny, and he's a great representative for Brooklyn. He cares. He's worked his whole life, you know, in public service. You know, this is a big deal, Coney Island. Like Willets Point, it'll take 10 years before people build out all of Willets Point, but at least the hard lifting is done. Willets Point, they started to rezone that for the 1960 World's Fair and didn't get it done. So, you know, I mean,
it takes time.
Every 50 years we can do something. At least we did it.
Governor's Island, anything new there? Haven't asked you about
that. There are a lot of people that go there in the summer. We are opening a public high school, the Harbor School, I think it's called. And I ran into a woman the other day who's an assistant principal.
People who live there, or you commute to?
No, commute. Okay. Commute. You know, and it's a theme. It's a theme school. There's some kids there already for summer school. I think it all opens in the fall. I ran into this woman, assistant principal, I forget her name. She was all bubbly and gung-ho. And, you know, the enthusiasm in the people who work in education in this city is really quite amazing because they know they're doing something. And that's why people from all over the country want to come here. I had dinner the other night with the president of the new president of the UFT, Michael Mulgrew. You know, listening to what we talked about, you know, things you can do together. And I'm the first one to say there are problems, but but we can work together and get them. And I think we made a lot of progress with Randy Weingarten, who's now no longer the head of the UFT. She's in Washington running a national teachers union. And the new head of the UFT, I think, will be great, and we'll do some things together. His interest is in getting the best working conditions and the most money for his members. That's what he's paid to do. And I think that's great, and I want a very happy group of teachers. But I also, the city needs stuff, and if you do it together, you can get both, and I think we've shown that. That's why, you know, that. Unfortunately, we're going to find the federal government saying, oh, your teachers and your schools are too good, we're not going to help you.
Speaking of things that are too
good. That's what happened
with our cops. Speaking of things that are way too good. Your Highline Park, I gather, is way too good because there are too many people. And now they're talking about taxing people to
it's a similar kind of thing to a bid, but we've got to find some ways to pay it. But it is a phenomenal success. The other great success, I went down 7th and up 6th the other day in a car. And usually I'm taking the subway, but we happen to be driving up and down. And everybody I talked to says traffic is better. Now, we'll see
the stats. Quinnipiac did a study.
People love
60% of the people said it was a great idea. But they did say, interestingly enough, not in my backyard.
Well, people in Herald Square, Times Square said that, too. So, you know, I mean, you got to... What Jeanette Sedekon did for the Broadway project, Herald and Times Square, is she went and she and her staff met with, you know, hundreds of merchants and people who had a vested interest. And so when she proposed it, you really didn't see this enormous group. There are a handful, but you didn't see an enormous group of people yelling and screaming, not in my backyard, because they had been given a chance to give some input. They got a chance to ask questions and got explanations. And I think some of them were skeptical or nervous, but they said, okay, let's try it. And for example, the Broadway theater owners, they're always worried about everything. This, for the first time, you'll be able to get to Broadway without those enormous traffic jams. Now, I can tell you, in December, traffic's going to be bad. It's always bad in December. It's Christmas season and whatever, but it'll be a lot better than it was before.
Have you made a decision that that's a permanent deal?
No. We said we'd give it a chance. Mm-hmm. And, in all fairness, all of the construction's not done. It'll be done in another 2 or 3 weeks. And then you got to see what happens after the summer when traffic picks up. But the traffic accidents of pedestrians getting hit is down already. The trouble before is the sidewalks just couldn't hold all of the shoppers and tourists. And the stores, I gather, are doing well. And I am told people, friends of mine who ask cab drivers, the cab drivers say, yeah, it's working. And they would know.
Story this week about restaurants and inspection. You concerned about that I'm sure you looked into it. And
all of these things, if you go on the Mayor's Management Report, you can get a copy, call 311, or the Citizens. We have we can get all these statistics on the web. This is all our information. We put out, I don't know why all of a sudden it's a surprise. The period in question was when if you remember, there was rats, and we went back and spent, instead of trying to get every restaurant, we went back and reinspected those who had problems, which we thought were more important. And we only have a limited number of inspectors, and we can only spend so much money. And, you know, you can sit there and complain. You want to pay more? No. But we get 99% of the restaurants are inspected. And in fact, we're about to start a program, I think it's this fall, where you grade every restaurant and they can put in the window a grade A through an F or whatever it is. And you can decide. You want to go to work to eat in a restaurant that's got a grade.
Who puts the grade
the health
in the window?
Health department. I think the law says.
It's a scarlet letter.
The idea is to fix the problem, clean it up. And there are other cities that do this, and it's worked.
Really?
Absolutely.
I've never heard of this before.
There are a number of cities that do it. I don't know how many, but some. And, why shouldn't you know? You want the health department to inspect the restaurant. Why shouldn't you be able to see easily what the results are? The health department works for you.
No owner wants a C.
It's like complaining about a parking ticket. Don't park illegally. Your speeding ticket, don't speed. Going through a red light, getting a ticket, don't go through the red light. A tax, you have no choice. But a fine, it is under your control. And you want that's the incentive here. We don't want to fine restaurants. We want all restaurants to be clean and healthy, and then that's great. If you knew they were going to be clean and healthy without even looking, you wouldn't have to waste the money to inspect. But we know that's not the real world. So we inspect.
Well, you know
the
happen.
Idea, though, is to keep them going.
You know what's going to happen. You will get that compliance from the restaurants, and everybody will have an A in their window, and then the people will complain that you've dumbed down the score for everybody to get.
Having said that, that's what government's about. Nice problem to have. I'll worry about that then.
All righty. MTA tolls, paying the city paying MTA allegedly millions of dollars in tolls.
I don't know how much it's going to be. We worked out a deal. In the end, you can say it's all government, but every government agency has to protect their funding sources and their revenue, because every government agency, whether it's federal, state, city agencies or authorities or whatever, we're holding the managers responsible, so they want to make sure they get their money. It does not apply to fire engines and police cars and that sort of thing when they go zipping through. There's nothing wrong, incidentally, with charging somebody if they are going home. Now, sometimes we do let them take city cars, for example, if there's a legitimate reason. We shouldn't be providing normally, but we do. But when they're doing that, they should be paying just like everybody else. I mean, I pay, I go through the MTA. The city car, probably at the moment, the car that I drive in, does not get charged, I assume, because they don't charge any of the city cars, but it will, and it should.
Okay, your car is not designated a police car? I mean, I know it's not a police car, but...
We have lights and sirens. We don't use it. No, I mean, I don't know how... The very few times I have to rush to get to something, it's not that important, A police car with a siren going, a fire truck with a siren going, they're going to save a life, and time is of the essence. I'd love to tell you my time was that valuable, but I think not.
Fair enough. Interesting story about the homeless and the fact that the city flies people home sometimes.
Well, like all these stories.
I didn't think it was a negative story at all.
Well, number one, it's not a negative story. Number two, there's three things. Number one, it's not a negative story. Number two, we've been doing this for a long time. I don't know why everybody just discovered it. Number three, I think the average amount is something like $45 or something. Most people go, we send them by bus, and they don't fly to Paris. They don't fly to the Caribbean or to Asia. They go by bus to wherever they came from. And incidentally, I don't know whether they come back quickly, but we can track if they come back and try to get in the shelter system. And they don't. So it really, the cost of providing shelter is enormous.
They say $36,000 a person or something.
Sure. And so, if you can send them, and nobody's forcing them at the point of a gun. They seem to want to, if they want to go, we will pay for it. And it's not very much money, and it is a very smart move for the taxpayer. Because New York City is different than any other city that I know. The state courts have ruled that the state constitution requires New York City, and presumably, if you litigated, be other cities in this state as well. But we must provide shelter. No other place that I know of has the legal requirement to do it. They may want to do it because humanitarian reasons, but we have to provide shelter. And so if we're going to spend $36,000 or give them a $50 ticket, Stu says the average ticket's not $40, $218. Same.
The average, okay.
Compared to $36,000,
sure.
It's a good
deal.
And
as you say, most of these people want to go home.
Right. Now you can say, we shouldn't be doing that? Okay, then reach in your pocket. You're going to pay $36,000. And don't tell me it's not fair. That's what the courts ruled. That's what the real world we got to live with.
All right, Mr. Mayor.
But we've been doing this for a long time.
Let's take a break right here. Then we've got a full bank of phones. Do we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Actually, there's one line open. 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. Some folks on the line here that has got some questions for you. We're going to start with Bill from Brooklyn, line 4. Hello, Bill. Go.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you, and thank you for providing us with access. Mayor, I have a particular problem. I have a commute where I come from Queens in the Midtown Tunnel, and I go up 37th Street, which is designed to cross traffic. And when I get up to 37th Street in 8th Avenue, there's a concern. I could have the green light and have traffic behind me beeping away, and I have 6 or 7 parking enforcement agents standing off to the side out of view, and they're waiting to get us in that intersection. to no fault of our own sometimes, because you have the light, it looks like you have a clear path.
And Bill, what's the question?
Well, the question is, why aren't they outside directing the traffic, holding people up, telling them to come, stop, go, instead of just waiting there to catch you and write you a ticket? It seems so unfair.
Bill, I don't know in the specific case. I will mention it to the police commissioner later today, and he'll ask one of his captains to look at it. People have complained to me repeatedly that some of the traffic agents park their cars and then get out and enforce traffic, but you take up a whole lane. And so I'll talk to the police commissioner about both. You know, it may be that they're just taking a break or something. I don't know in this case. And, you know, can we do better? Yeah, I'm sure we can. And I'll, you know, mention it to Ray later today.
All right. There you go, Bill. Let's go to Jeffrey out on Long Island. Jeffrey, good morning. You've got the mayor, Michael Bloomberg's here.
Good morning. It came to my attention that the teachers' union or teachers' retirement plan pays 8% or 8.25%, and then just recently they tried to lower it to 7%, but that was reversed. The question is, if this is true, how can we afford to pay 8%? And I'm not sure whether the assembly also gets this.
I think in New York, Jeffrey, all of the state and city pension funds, I could be wrong on some, but most of them have an 8% rate assumption built into them. Now, I think it is also fair to say that if you look at history, 8% is an unrealistic rate to assume that we're going to make. And in fact, you know, there are periods of time where you can make a lot. If you bought stocks in March, you'd be up 40% today on average. But over long periods of time, all of these different kinds of investments tend not to make 8%. And if you take out inflation, then, you know, you have, let's say, 5% to spend. And sometimes we spend more than that. And given we have a defined benefit rather than defined contribution system through most municipal pension funds, it is a real problem. I will say, Jeffrey, that one of the things we've done with the UFT is we negotiated a fifth tier, if you remember, for teachers. We have not been able to do that for other municipal unions yet in the city, and the governor's tried to do that in the state and hasn't done it yet. I think next year, the year after, as things continue to deteriorate in the municipal financial world, states and cities throughout this country, those kinds of the kind of question you're asking is going to be asked more and more. If you look in the private sector, most private sector pension funds have changed from defined benefit to defined contribution or gone away. A lot of people don't have the pension system they used to have. People just can't afford it. And one of the problems is that people assume unrealistic rates of return from their investments.
Pension funds, endowments, all sorts of things have dropped dramatically.
Right, absolutely. And you see, in fact, in New York State, it's interesting, there is a law that if you give, John, $1 million, let's say, to NYU for a scholarship, if the value of the fund that you give goes down below $1 million, they have to stop paying until it comes back. Now, if they've got a professor or a student who's got a scholarship, or a professor is getting a stipend,
they lose their scholarship.
Yeah, because they can't pay it out.
Or their chair.
Yeah, but you know, we've got to do is what we did, for example, with the teachers, where we did negotiate a 7% rate rather than an 8% rate. That was one of the real savings. But we've not done that with everybody else.
Right.
And you can't just automatically say we're going to do it. You have to negotiate it.
All right, I think we have time maybe for one more. Russell, you're going to be it. Good morning, Russell. Real fast, please.
Hi, Mayor. I'm with a group that's trying to establish strategic partnerships with JPMorgan Chase and building trade unions to build 20,000 units of 50% market rate, 50% low-cost housing linked to the minimum wage. And I'd like to ask you, rather than assert a fourth term, would you consider sitting down with us to take up this issue?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to do a fourth term, and I don't know that I want to be a real estate developer, but, you know, that's the sort of thing you'd look at and see if there aren't innovative ways. There are people who've, you know, invested the money and come up with ways to build housing at different prices in different places. We have to find housing for people that built the city, and we want housing for everybody. We want the people that live here. We want other people to come here.
And it's a good way to make some money. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur.
I think building today, low-cost steel, cement, labor, the economy's starting to get better, and it'll be a good investment. But what do I know?
All right. What do you know?
But I will not be in, and I can tell you this, I will not be mayor for a fourth term.
I will see you. I hope you will be here next Friday.
Look, assuming the rain stops.
All right. Mr. Mayor, thank you as always. Thank you all very much. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back on Monday starting at 5:30. Have yourselves...